If you have your Bibles this morning, what I'd like for you to do is turn with you to Matthew 7, please. Matthew chapter number 7. And then we'll turn over to Matthew chapter 23. I want to at least begin this morning in the message. I'm not sure how far that we'll get, but we may complete it. It's just up to the Lord. I'm just going to follow him by the grace of God. Amen. Matthew chapter number 7, first of all, let's stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning. I just want to say, Brother Rose and Sister Barbara, I never shall forget the day. I say that, I mean, as long as I've got a good mind, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul rolled away. It made me happy. Guess what? I'm still happy. I told the men out back in the prayer meeting a while ago, I said, I'm as excited about preaching this morning as I was the day, first day I stepped in the pulpit. What a Savior. Amen. And if something does happen to my old mind and I can't remember that day, my song goes back to a song that my mind goes back to a song the inspiration sang a little while back. And should the day come, I can't remember him. He will remember me. I say, what a blessing that is. Amen. Honey, I'm his and he's mine. It's settled. Brother Mays used to say, I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. Amen. May get home today. Matthew 7. Verse 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I didn't intend to read this verse, but I'm going to read it. Look at verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Turn over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23, please. Matthew chapter 23. And I want to look at verse 33. Jesus is addressing the Pharisees, and he said, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? You say, now, preacher, what in the world do those two texts have to do with anything with each other? I'll show you in a minute. How many will pray that God will have his way in this service? You can be seated. Pray with me, please, the Lord, just have his way. Father, thank you today for the privilege to stand here and Lord, open this precious old book. Lord, I pray now that we've opened the book, may we open our hearts, open our minds, and let you, Lord, speak to us today. Father, I pray this morning that Christ would be magnified in the service, and Lord Jesus, that you would just be pleased to meet with us. Change us, our Father. Make us, Lord, that are here today and saved by the grace of God, more like your Son. Yeah. Lord, I pray for that one today that's here and don't know you, Lord, that you might, Lord, help them to become this day a child of God. Through the new birth, God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. Brother Coulter's preaching this morning down at Lone Oak in Carter's Valley. Brother Coulter, I believe it was Wednesday night. I think it was Wednesday night. I asked him to testify. It might have been last Sunday night. I lose track of time. Brother Rose is nodding his head. And anyway, he talked about a message that Brother Joe Arthur preached entitled, If a Donkey Can Do It, You Can Too. And I was curious about the message, and I don't think I've ever done it before, but I went on YouTube and I thought, well, maybe I can catch Brother Joe preaching that message. And sure enough, that right there he was. If a donkey can do it, you can too. And I can see why Coulter was encouraged by that, amen, and why the message was a blessing to God's people. I'm trying to tell you this morning, set it up, how the Lord spoke to my heart about what I'm going to preach. As Brother Joe was standing in the pulpit in that church, right behind him was a door. It wasn't a baptistry, but right behind him was a door. And right over top of the door, if you look to that side and look to this side in the back of the auditorium, every door in here has a sign over top of it that says exit. And I don't know how to explain to you what God did in my heart. I'm sitting there watching the man of God preach and listening to what he's saying. And the Holy Ghost had me focused on that sign, an exit sign. He began to finger around in my heart. My wife will tell you, God has spoken to my heart in some peculiar places before. I've read stuff on the wall in a funeral home, and God gave me a message. Amen. I going down the highway one time and said, Lord, I need something. I don't know what I need, but I need something. And I turned the corner, never seen this sign before in my life, but it said fresh oil. I said, yeah, Lord, that's what I need. I need some fresh oil. Amen. That's where they put the tar and chip on the road. I never heard it called that. I don't know why you call it fresh oil. I guess years ago, that before the EPA got involved, they probably did dump oil on the road to keep the dust down. Amen. But anyway, I looked at that sign, that exit sign. God began to finger around in my heart. And I want to preach this morning for a little while on this subject, please. Don't miss the exit. Please don't miss the exit. Brother Brian, I will tell you something, brother. I hate what you've been through. But I tell you, we have enjoyed some of the sweetest fellowship I believe that any two men could enjoy on this planet called Earth. And one of the first things that God reminded me of, I believe, Brother Brian, if I'm not mistaken, I picked you up in Knoxville at the airport. We were coming up 81, and I'm going to go into some things here, so some reasons why people miss the exit. And we were coming up Interstate 81, and I mean, I'm telling you, buddy, me and Brother Brian just talking, and we don't have any trouble talking, do we, Brother Brian? Amen. I'm telling you, we're just having a big time and fellowshipping together, and I was about to blow the doors off of the exit. Do you remember that, Brother Brian? Honey, I was going to Bristol. I wasn't getting off at Kingsport. I just was going on, amen. Having a good time in the Lord, amen. I thought about some reasons that we miss the exit. Sometimes, beloved, we miss the exit because we're distracted. You can be distracted by good things. Brother Brian and I weren't doing anything bad. We were doing something good. We were fellowshipping together around the things of God, amen. And listen, you can be distracted and miss the exit. You say, preacher, I don't know what exit you're talking about. You will before you leave here. You'll understand what the exit. Listen to me. I just read you a text that says there's a broad way that leads to destruction. Can I tell you something? There's an exit ramp. You can get off the broad way that leads to destruction. And you can get in the narrow way that leads to life eternal. Amen. I'm telling you, I'd be in hell today if God didn't have an exit ramp to get me off of that broad way and get me in His way. Sometimes, beloved, we're distracted by good things. I remember I was going to work one morning. A gentleman by the name of Wayne Edwards, we were working for a man in Marion, Virginia. We decided we'd yoke up and ride together and save a little gas money. And we're going up the interstate, and Brother Wayne was driving that day. We were just talking, having a big time, and he blew the doors off of the exit. I looked over at him, and I said, Wayne, it looks to me like I'm going to have to start telling you where to get off. Y'all get that after a while, amen. Amen. He missed the exit because we were distracted. Not bad things, but good things. Let me tell you this, beloved. You can also be distracted with bad things. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm going to tell you something right now. Let me just say one word, billboards.
there's a lot of wickedness being portrayed, amen, as something that's good and something that's fun. And beloved, listen, they might have their gay pride over parade over there in Johnson City. I'm going to tell you something. God don't help us. It'll come to Kingsport for it's over with. I say, beloved, listen, this world is full of wickedness, and there's a lot of people going to miss the exit. They're going to die without God in the Broadway. Because the wicked things of this world have distracted them, taking their attention off of the things that are important. I thought about why. Why do we miss the exit? Let me just say this. I'm just trying to obey the Lord. This ain't in the notes this morning, but God just began to finger around my heart real early this morning. You know the reason them exit signs are there? Listen to me. The fire code requires it. What it's all about, see, you're only allowed so many people in this building. There has to be so many exits. Because if this building gets on fire, the fire code and the fire marshal wants everybody in the building to be able to get out alive. That's why the exit sign's there. And can I tell you, beloved, the reason that God made an exit ramp off of the Broadway is because He don't want you to end up in the fire. He don't want you to end up in that devil's hell. He don't want you to end up suffering and burning, my friend, and never dying for all eternity. I say this morning, please, in God's name, don't miss the exit. God has an exit. God has a place for you to get off. I was in Chilhowee, Virginia one time. I went into Barry Builders. And this fella said to me, I was witnessing to him. My dad and I bought a lot of material off of him, building material. We were in business together. I was witnessing to this man. He said, Rick, I didn't know you got on the bandwagon. I said, I didn't. I got off. The bandwagon's going to hell. That's what I told him. Honey, I didn't get on the bandwagon. I got off because many are on the bandwagon and going in the Broadway. Just a few in that narrow way. I'm trying to just introduce the message this morning. But I want to beg you, please don't miss the exit. God has an exit. Oh, let me tell you something. Sunday night in February 1987, I went to church just like every other night I'd ever been to church. I'll tell you something, I didn't know that God was going to hold up an exit sign that night. Oh, but thank God the Holy Ghost said, you can get off right here. You say, preacher, what did the sign say? It said Calvary. Said, you can get off right here. You can get off the Broadway. Hey, Brother Ralph, there's not two or three different exits to get off the Broadway. There's only one. You got to get off at Calvary. You got to get on at Calvary. You get off of one road and you get on another. You say, preacher, why do people miss the exit? Well, I'm still just trying to introduce just a little bit, but my wife and I had been in Johnson City the other night. We had some business to take care of over there, and it was her birthday, and we decided it'd be a good thing to go out and eat. We both had leftovers. I ate mine and hers. It was her birthday. I didn't want her to eat too much. Amen. Amen. We got coming back across the road and we noticed something. Kingsport Police out here where 26 intersects with 81 had all the exits blocked. There was a wreck at the crossings up there. You want to know why some people miss the exit? Because it's blocked. You say, preacher, what's blocking it? There's a lot of different things blocking the exit. The Bible talks about a stumbling block. God help us, Brother Joe, if we'd be laying across the exit where somebody's supposed to get off. Say amen. God help us if our life, beloved, listen, is hindering somebody from getting off the Broadway and getting in the narrow way. I say, God help us. Beloved, the Bible teaches us, listen, that you and I can be a stumbling stone, but we can also be a stepping stone. I'll tell you another reason some people miss the exit is because it gets to where you can't see. My dad and my mom and the family, and we used to travel from Maryland down to Glade Spring, Virginia, once a year. And one time my Uncle Isaac was with us, and it was so foggy, are you listening to me, that my Uncle Isaac would have to get out with a flashlight and read the sign. That was before Interstate 81, now, mind you. That was when you were back on 11, run north and south. Interstate 81 turned an 11 and a half hour journey into a 7 and a half hour journey. That's what Interstate 81 did for that trip from Baltimore down. There's a lot of people this morning going to miss the exit because it's foggy and they just can't see. Amen. Oh, happy day when God took the blinders off of this old boy. I once was blind, but thank God now I see. Thank God I was able, beloved, listen, to see. Listen, there's a road that leads to Calvary. There's a road that leads to heaven. You don't have to stand the broad way that leads to hell. Please, don't miss the exit. I want to give you some things this morning. I thought about some people. I missed the exit in Knoxville. It hadn't been too long ago. I was trying to think this morning, Sister Kim, if it was when your mom was in the hospital down there. I'm not sure. But anyway, what every man needs is another woman telling him what exit to take. That's what I had. I had my phone on. And no, I didn't have my wife with me. That's not what I'm talking about this time. But I had my phone on, and when I realized I was in trouble, see, Brother Brian gets that, he used that little program called The Waze, and I had that on my other phone. I ain't signed it up on this phone yet, but anyway, when I realized I was in trouble and that woman didn't know what she was talking about, that's why God had me to read that other verse about false prophets this morning. Let me tell you something about false prophets. They'll tell you can get off anywhere you want to. They'll tell you can get off any time you want to. Honey, you can't get off unless the Holy Ghost is dealing with you, and you can only get off in one place. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I'm going down in Knoxville, and when I realized I was in trouble, I got off. Everything seemed just fine. I went out there, and I got off again. Everything seemed just fine. And then it turned me left, and I went right back across the road where I was, and everything seemed just fine. Then it turned me left again, and I was going just the way I just come. I ain't got a lot of sense, but I done forgot how to sing that song, "Whirl It, Go Around in Circles." Amen? Amen. And I knew that somebody was giving me some bad information. Yeah. Let me tell you something about technology. It's wonderful when it's working. You don't believe that, beloved, you get a whole lot of your life sewed up in a computer. That's where my outlines are. That's where a lot of the pictures of the kids and all that stuff, you get it all on there and it not backed up and it blow up. You'll find out, beloved, listen. How many's been there and done that? Amen. Why do we miss the exit? Because somebody gives us the wrong instructions, the wrong directions. You know what I like about Bible Way? A lot of things, but one of the things I like about Bible Way is this. We've been in existence now as a church for over 50 years. But every preacher has told people there's only one way to get off. And it was the same way, Jesus. It was the same place, Calvary. It was the same Bible that was being preached. You say, preacher, that's not too much to celebrate. Honey, in this generation, that's a whole lot to celebrate. We don't need to change. Well, I want to take you by three exits today. I think we'll just go to exit one this morning. Let me give you another reason. I'm just telling you, God's stirred in my heart. Let me give you another people reason somebody's going to miss the exit. How many's been going up a road and you know you got to get off at exit 10? How many's ever been done that? You know you're going to Abingdon and you know you got to get off at exit 10. That's kind of between Abingdon and Bristol. But you're at exit 5. So exit 5 to exit 10, y'all know how that works. That's 5 miles. Listen to me carefully. A lot of people wait too long to get in the right lane.
Amen.
You say, I'm at exit 10, I'm getting off, or exit 5, I'm getting off at exit 10. I've got 5 miles. How many knows 5 miles goes just like that? How many's been around long enough to know that life goes just like that? Honey, you better not miss the exit. You better not miss the exit. God has made a way that people can get off the Broadway. The man that I thought about this morning that I would believe would be a perfect example was the Apostle Paul. I'm not going to take the time to read the text this morning, but the Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus. The Apostle Paul was doing just what he'd always done. The Apostle Paul, let me give you this, beloved. He thought he was doing the right thing. The Apostle Paul was just like a lot of people in this generation. He was deceived. He was going down there to lock up some of God's people. He persecuted God's people. And beloved, listen, he was even there holding the garments of those that stoned Stephen to death after that he preached. So where was Paul? Was he on the road to Damascus? Yes, he was, but it was the broad road. It was the broad way. You say, preacher, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. He had an encounter with Jesus, and he got off the Broadway. And you know what I like? I like it. I don't think this just happened by accident, but you know what God told him? He said, go down there. I believe it was Ananias. He said, to that street called, help me, Straight. Glory to God. Amen. And he ran it the straight way, the Word of God said. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many are going that way. All kinds of people. That takes me back to, listen, how many knows what 695 going around Baltimore is like? I first moved up there, it was 3 lanes. Then it went 4 lanes. Then it went 5 lanes. And now 6 lanes of traffic going around Baltimore City. I'm going to tell you something right now. Another reason some people miss the exit is because those that are on the highway with them are rude. You can give a signal, it means nothing in Baltimore. That's why people drive like they drive. They'll give you a blink, and they're coming. I was in Atlanta years ago, run plumb out of the road. I mean, I got a blink, they were coming. I ran alongside of them. I was over there in the median running over pallets. I don't know how in the world I didn't blow a tire out. Pallets and nails and stuff going everywhere. And I'm just sitting there, beloved, listen, the first thing that went through my mind is I was angry. I wanted to choke somebody. The second thing that went through my mind, I'm talking about traffic, 80 miles an hour, I'm sitting still in the median. Woo, 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 woo. Could care less. Let me tell you something about them people in the Broadway. They could care less whether you die and go to hell without God. Beloved, it's the people that got off the Broadway that care about your soul. I want you to exit at Calvary. Get in the narrow way. The Apostle Paul was used greatly of God. But beloved, it was because he didn't miss the exit. There's an exit. Exit one is a way to evade the damnation of hell. The exit is clearly marked. There's only one. You got to get off at Calvary. You got to get off with Jesus. You got to get off. I've been saying this for some time now, and I believe it to be true. No one gets off the Broadway until they get tired of the Broadway. You get tired of the guilt. You get tired of the shame. You get tired of the sin. Then you're just really glad when a Savior comes along and the Spirit of God holds up a sign and says, exit here. You don't have to burn this morning. You don't have to continue in the Broadway. There's an exit. Exit one. Get off right here at Calvary. I'm going to tell you, the happiest day in my life is the day that I got off the Broadway. The day I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, in comparison this morning, church attendance in Kingsport is probably pretty good compared to some other cities in the world. But let me say this. In comparison this morning, every city's just alike. I actually needed a little piece of hardware for a little project that I was working on this morning. At about 8 o'clock, I jumped in the truck and I ran down to Lowe's. And I got that little piece of hardware and I came back to the church. But something went on in my heart. I'll be honest with you. What went on in my heart was all the men that were coming and going. It's Sunday. I knew they weren't planning on going to church. They had more important things to do. You say, preacher, are you down in them? Nope. I was thinking back to the day, Brother Gary, when I had more important things to do. Sunday morning didn't find me in the house of God. And I can remember, listen, this went through my heart and mind this morning. How many can remember when you were unsaved? How many can remember, though, whatever you were doing, maybe you were on the lake, maybe you were camping, maybe you were working, maybe you was mowing the grass, maybe you was washing the car, but how many can remember, even when you were lost, you knew there was a place that you really ought to be? Say amen right there. Even when you didn't know Jesus, there was something stirred around down inside of you. My daddy used to testify. He raised 6 children. I told him in prison for 10 years. God, mom and dad had, God gave them 2 kids when he gave them me. I got to be the oldest and the ugliest. It gets better from here. If you don't believe that, look over at my sister. Amen. It don't get worse, it gets better. Let me say this to you this morning. Daddy would leave enough work undone on Saturday night. He could have worked another hour and got it done. But he wanted an excuse in his heart not to go to church on Sunday morning. And he could say, by doing that, Brother Rose, I've got a family to support and I need to. My daddy got saved. Let me tell you what happened. Daddy got off the Broadway. He got in the narrow way. You know what he said? He'd tell everybody, God can get more done in 6 days than I ever did in 7. Amen. That's what Daddy would tell him. He run out of excuses. Got tired of the Broadway. And took the exit at Calvary. Got saved by the grace of God. Let me tell you something this morning. I believe with all my heart. I believe God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, has the capability to take this message and remind you that are lost every time you look at an exit sign. Every time you're going down the road, on Interstate 81 or Interstate 26, and every time you look up and it says exit, 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 exit. My prayer is the blessed Holy Ghost will not let you get away from realizing, beloved, listen, you're on a broad way. The broad way is leading to destruction. It's leading to hell, but God loves you so much, He's made an exit ramp at Calvary so you can get saved by the grace of God. I don't know about you this morning. But I'm sure glad. You say, preacher, God dealt with my heart and I missed the exit. Listen to me carefully. You're still living. God's still on the throne. And God's still dealing with your heart. Guess what? God allows U-turns. He'll allow you to come back and get off where you're supposed to get off. Say amen. Now the day will come when it'll be too late to make a U-turn. It'll be too late to make a U-turn. I want to tell you this morning, the Lord loves you. We ought to be praying for our children and our grandchildren. Oh God, don't let them miss the exit. Lord, when they're going down the highway of life, Lord, we know that we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. We know the wages of sin is death, but we know the gift of God is right here at exit one. You can get off at Calvary and receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I just want to say this morning, what a Savior He is. I like this road, Brother Rose. I sleep good on this road. I was watching the news last night, or yesterday, maybe it's Friday. I was watching the news, and they played this little clip where they asked General Mattis, said, what keeps you up at night? He said, nothing. I keep others up at night. Or what keeps you awake at night? What keeps you awake at night? He said, nothing. I keep others awake at night. I like a general like that. See, amen. But I'm going to tell you something. There was a time in my life when I was afraid to go to sleep. I knew the Bible was truth. I knew I was lost. I knew the Savior was coming. Many times, many, probably thousands of times, I would recite the Lord's Prayer, just hoping it would keep the judgment of God off of me. Wasn't true. He wasn't my Father. You got to be born again for Him to be your Father. You got to exit at Calvary. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for the blessed privilege to open the Bible, read about a way that's broad, read about a way that's narrow, read about a Savior that made us a way that we could escape the damnation that's coming upon this world and lost mankind. Lord, as we gather this morning, thank You for making us a way of escape. Thank You, Lord, this morning that no longer do we have to lay down at night in fear, because perfect love has taken away that fear. Thank You, Lord, that we know that heaven will be our home. We know, Lord, that just like the Apostle Paul, when You saved him, You gave him a purpose. Every one of us that are saved, You gave us a purpose in life. I pray, Lord, You'll help us to fulfill that purpose. in our lives. Our heads are